just over 22 months ago. And I want to encourage, and this is what one of the things Brother Gerald was talking about. He said he could envision in his mind that it'd be easier for a woman to lose her husband than for the man to lose his wife. And the reason is because of all the things that a wife does. And brothers, I want to tell you, and husbands, I want to tell you, you don't really realize the depths of that till you have to do it all. And if you're not a good cook, and you're not a good bookkeeper, and you're not a good housekeeper, or any of that, it stares you in the face constantly, all the time. One gentleman that I know, just over two years ago, he had lost his wife about 3 years prior to what I'm fixing to say. And he was having lunch with one of his nieces at a restaurant. And she looked at him and she said, "Uncle, do you miss your wife or my aunt?" And he looked at her and he busted out bawling and he said, "I miss her every second of every day." Well, what he means by that is this. You have to deal with it every day. And I'm over the hard grief. The Lord healed me the 25th day of December, last December, Christmas Day. He touched me. I went over 11 months of hard grief. And I'm over that. But still, I face the fact that Rebecca's not in the house, in the car, at the chapel, in the bedroom, in the office, outside. I face that every day. Every time I go somewhere, in a sense, I face it over and over. So I said all that to say this. Husbands, I'd like to challenge you regularly to take your wife in your arms and say, "Darling, I appreciate everything you do." Because like I said, when you face it day after day, I'm not a good cook. I don't claim to be. One person told me, said, "You can do it." Yeah, I guess I probably could. But I don't have time to do it. She's the one who had time. She had prepared and I'd come eat it. So you can't thank your wives. And wives, you can't thank your husbands, because if the role was reversed, but especially the wife. And I've been thinking at times, like Cousin Gerald said, the fact is that the wife does so much that when they're gone, it is a big empty hole, I guarantee you. And you will deal with it every day. So I want to challenge you. This is Thanksgiving Day. I want to challenge you to say, take her in your arms and say, "Baby, I love you and I appreciate everything you do." Everything. All the time. Because there will be a time if you lose her, I guarantee you'll want to say that and you can't. Because she's not there to thank. All right, I desire your prayers. Sometimes you feel like your minister's in a fishbowl all the time. Right now, I think I'm in a double fish bowl. All right, load to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I have what I would call a Thanksgiving message by the help of the Lord. I didn't just drum this up. The Lord gave this to me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, give thanks. That's the theme of my whole message. I tell you, I'm in trouble with this chalk. Then I can't write on top of that. I'm going to have to buy you some more chalk, Michael. I broke every piece I've used, I think. I'm helping the janitor out a whole bunch, too, on top of that. In everything, give thanks. All right, let's go to Psalms 95. 95:2. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." We live in a world today that is not really a thankful world like it ought to be. They're too interested in the football games and the basketball games and all that. And they're not really centering in on the very one that has given us what we have. The one that made this nation what it is. The one that blesses every one of us to get out of bed every morning, to eat our food every day, and to be able to do. Talking about Sister Dorme, the situation she's in right now. Well, she's thankful for what she's got, but she's not what she used to be. And that's hard on a person. But we don't want to have to be brought down to that place to be thankful. We ought to be thankful anyway. Listen, we have a National Thanksgiving Day. Saints, you and I have a Thanksgiving Day every day. It should be continually all day long of thanking the Lord for what He does for you and I, that we can get out of bed in the morning, that we can eat, we can drink, we can sleep, we can do things, we can go places, we've got what we've got. We need to be thankful every day for everything that we've got in every way, praise God, because we didn't get it ourselves. It was given to us by God. Well, I earned it. I worked for it. Yeah, you did. But God gave you the strength to be able to do it. And so the bottom line is, Lord, help us this morning to be extremely thankful to God for everything. In everything, give thanks. And I got a punchline I'm going to. But Lord, help us this morning to be extremely thankful. 95:1 of the good book of Psalms said, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Now this morning, when you and I gather together out like we are this morning, most generally, most of the services start out with singing. We usually sing the first thing. And singing can bring such a blessing and such a inspiration and such an encouragement and such a challenge. There's a message in every song, one minister used to say, and it can do that. And it said, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock. Listen, folks, to the rock of our salvation, the one that stabilizes us and holds us and helps us. Listen, we're not here this morning because of who we are. We're here this morning because Jesus saved us and gave us power and strength and grace and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be able to live for Him every day, to live the life that be pleased to Him. We're not here because I am somebody. We're here because Jesus helped us to be here this morning. And so He said here, the rock, the one, the stabilizing part of our lives. I think it's Psalms 41, is it not? It said there, He brought me up and out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise be unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It says there, He established my goings. He put my feet on a rock. Listen, this morning, thank God for Jesus that has stabilized and settled us. I'm glad this morning to be saved. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for me. I appreciate the mercy He's had on every one of us here. But the bottom line is, you and I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Him this morning. And we need to thank Him this morning. We need to appreciate. We can't thank Him enough. If you said, "Thank you, Lord, for just salvation every day, 365 days of the year." Well, no, let's go further than that. Of every second of every day, 365 days a year. It wouldn't be enough for the things that He's done for you, for the plan, for the suffering, for the things that He went through to bring about a plan that is so great this morning. Listen, this morning, you and I can't thank Him enough for what He done. I highly appreciate His mercy. I appreciate y'all putting up with this old boy too. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Oh, and make a joyful noise unto Him. Oh, this morning, what does Brother Michael say? Anybody got thanksgiving? You know, we can come to meeting and be thankful every time that we're there. I hope you're thankful to be here this morning. I hope it's not just here for a dinner. I think it's way deeper than that. I know it's way deeper than that. The very fact that you and I can be in the presence of God, we ought to be extremely thankful for that this morning. There is people that don't have what we have. don't know what we know, has not been brought to the place where we're at. They don't understand. And you and I have been nurtured and blessed and led and guided and all of this down through the years to the place where we're at. And that's something to be extremely thankful for this morning. The very fact that we can have the anointing and the power. One man said, and he went to, I believe, 50 churches in one town, and he come to a congregation in that town of saints, and he said, there ain't none of them got what you guys have got. None of them. And he went to 50 or 60, whatever it was. He said, none of them have that. Listen, saints, we're extremely blessed this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for smelling in our assembly. Thank you for coming down and giving liberty and freedom and anointing and power in the singing, in the praying, in the specials, in the preaching. Lord, we appreciate this morning what you've done. He wouldn't have to do that. I'm going to tell you, when it's dead and dry, it's dead and dry. But boy, when the presence of God there, it's rich, is it not? It's wonderful because of Jesus, praise God. He died for us, and He has mercy, and He blesses us every day. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving this morning. Brother Sammons, one time in Greenbank, this has been years ago before Brother Marty was ever even saved. We was up there for a Thanksgiving meeting. I think that particular time they didn't have meeting here for about a couple of three Thanksgivings. And they had meeting up there, I know, once or twice. And we were up there for one of them. And on Thanksgiving Day, Brother Sammons, he got up and he said, I tell you what, this morning, he said, let's just come before the Lord and thank Him. Let's not ask requests this morning. Let's just thank God for being God. Thank Him for blessing us as a body of people. Oh, this morning, Lord, help us to do that in our privacy of our homes. Let's go to Mark, the 8th chapter. My time is flying. The 8th chapter of Mark, the 6th verse, and desire your prayers. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took 7 loaves and gave thanks. And He brake and gave to His disciples and set before them. And they did eat them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled and took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Now Jesus, again, is our example. He gave thanks. He wouldn't have had to done it, so to speak, but He left a perfect example in my way of looking at it in everything. You cannot shoot a hole. I mean, people make mistakes, but I read in the Bible and look at it, and to me, it's a perfect example that He left in every way. Everything. It's so perfect. And Lord, help us to model ourselves after that. To go after that. To do that. He gave thanks. All right, let's go to John, the 11th chapter and 41st verse. Here it is. He's at the tomb of Lazarus. And He's trying to help Martha and Mary, bless them and be with them and do things. And He's also there for the glory of God. And it said here in the 40th verse, 11 and 40 of John, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, again, Jesus is thankful. Father, I thank Thee. What Christ is doing here is giving us an example and something that you and I can use. But it takes faith to do it. He said here that in the 40 verse, he said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He's thanking God for something before it ever happens. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you have got down and thanked God for something that you don't even have yet? That's faith. That's saying, Lord, I thank you for that. And you don't see it. You don't feel it, maybe. You don't, whatever. But you're reaching out by faith and thanking God for it. Now, saints, down through the first time I really got a understanding on this was on my honeymoon. And I got sick on my honeymoon. Becky Ann started out sick, and then I got sick. And we was there, this was morning time, and she decided to pray for me, and she prayed all right. She prayed clear crowds around the world for everybody and got to me last. And while she was praying, the Lord told me, He said, thank God for your healing. And I go, I ain't healed, Lord. He said, thank the Lord for your healing. I go, I'm not well. He said, thank God for your healing. He told me this three times. And I go, but I'm not well. So when she got through praying, I said, get the Bible. I said, I want you to read so-so. I quoted a scripture or two. And I said, now I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. And when she did, when she got the red, and then she laid hands on me and prayed for me, then I started beginning to thank God. And I said, thank you, Lord, for my healing. And the Lord gave me an instant touch when I'd done that. And He began to just, I got better and better. I got up out of bed, got dressed. We started going places and doing things. And the further I went, the better I got. Praise God. He let me know that you're accepting and receiving something you're thankful for before you ever receive it. And there's other instances and other situations that I could go into. But the bottom line is, Lord, help us to be able to say thank you, Lord, for something. Hadn't even received yet. There was another situation of a man had been sick and he couldn't walk or walk well. And so he got an inspiration that the Lord was going to help him. So he got two brothers, got one on each side to help him. And they walked got out of the house and got on the sidewalk, and he said, we're going to go and I'm going to thank God and I'm healed. And he did that. They started down and he just started thanking the Lord over and over for healing, and then it hit him and he was well and he took off. Thanking God. You may have to have an inspiration of faith to do that. But the Lord can give you that inspiration. He can give you that inspiration. There had been times when several's in a room praying for somebody that is sick. And pray and pray and pray and seem like we're not getting anywhere. And then somebody will take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and start thanking God for healing. And I've never seen it fail yet. The Lord would touch that person right away. And start relieving the pain or bless them or heal them or whatever needed to be. It's happened over and over. The Lord, folks, wants us to exercise faith with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. We may not see it, we may not feel it right away, but we can still thank God for it this morning. He did. All right, let's go to Luke 17. Luke the 17th chapter, the 10 lepers here, I believe it was, and they come 17 and 12. Well, 11 came to pass. He went to Jerusalem. Then he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, this is one tenth, When he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now then, of the 10, and I don't think it says what the others were here, but it says this one was a Samaritan. Wouldn't that not put him in the one that'd be the least thankful, so to speak? The one that would be least likely to thank the Lord for what he had. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Samaritan. But this man turned around. Now then, the bottom line was, back then leprosy, and I guess it still is a very feared thing. It done a lot of damage. I guess even maybe killing people over a period of time. It would eat off fingers and toes, and it would disfigure, and it would do a lot of damage. So if you got leprosy, you was in trouble. It was no easy thing. It was no good thing. They had leper colonies. They just put them out there and got them away from everybody. Well, today, leprosy, in a sense, in a type and a shadow of it, is like sin. Sin does a lot of damage. It takes and it can ruin people totally and destroy them and wipe them out. So consequently, this man come along, or these men come along, and say they were just good old sinners or bad old sinners, so to speak, and the Lord had mercy and saved them. Only one of them turned around and thanked the Lord. Listen, this morning, folks, the first thing you ought to be thankful for of a morning is the salvation of your soul. Thank thee, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for looking me up and finding me down in the mother grubs of sin and calling and working and dealing. You know, folks, sometimes he works with people for years before they get saved. And years and years. And I'm going to tell you, it is such a blessing to be saved. And yet people put it off and put it off and put it off. One person turned around and thanked the Lord. And he was a Samaritan. The least likely of all of them. Are we as thankful this morning for salvation as we ought to be? Do we really thank the Lord every day? Maybe several times a day. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon me. An old person that don't know very much. He has taken people that couldn't read and taught them how to read, made preachers out of them. He's taken people that had this and that and the other, and he's taken them and saved them and sanctified them and purified them and worked with them and dealt with them and led them and guided them, and they've been a great blessing to the church. But the bottom line is, Jesus saved their souls, praise God. And today, are we as thankful for salvation as we want to be, need to be, ought to be? Lord, help us this morning, are we? Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 4. 1 Timothy 4 and 4. We can't thank God enough for salvation this morning. 4 and 4 of 1 Timothy. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now I'd say most people, Christian people anyway, thank the Lord for their food. But there has been times of instances that you probably heard of where some of the people that you know was in a restaurant and bowed their heads, especially maybe young people, and thanked the Lord for the food, and somebody come by and give them an offering or just pray for their whole meal because they were so touched that they thanked God for their food. Young people done it in a public place. Oh, today, Lord, help us to thank the Lord for what we have. Brother Egbert told me one time that when he was out in the Depression time, that he hardly had anything. And Brother Simmons made a statement. He said, I've never stuck my hand in my pocket and there wasn't at least a penny in there. Brother Egbert said, son, let me tell you something. He said, I've stuck my hand in my pocket a lot of times. There was nothing in there. Wasn't a thing. He said, used to. I carried, wife carried a sewing needle and thread to stitch up. Said, I didn't hardly have anything to wear. She didn't hardly have anything. She was mending on the go, so to speak. He said, now, Carl, I got enough clothes to have a rummage sale. Most of us got plenty of food in the house, don't we? Most of us got food in the freezer and in the icebox and in the cabinets and so forth. And Are we as thankful for the food that we've got? Do we appreciate what the Lord's given us, even if it is a baked potato? Even if it is a salad? And I'm not knocking those things. I'm just trying to think something of a less value. I'm not talking about steaks here. I love steak and potatoes. But the bottom line is, there's people this morning that don't have very much, and we got a whole bunch. You listen to those that go to Africa and come back with the stories, or India and different things, what they see and what they watch and behold over there. And folks, we're multimillionaires, so to speak, compared to them. They digging it out of the dumpster. I walked out one time to throw some trash in a dumpster. And sometimes these big dumpsters that have these side doors, when it's open, just for practice, I'll stand back and pitch it in. And I've done that. And all of a sudden I saw a movement in that dumpster. And I thought, is somebody in there? And I walked up and I looked, and sure enough, there was a man in that dumpster digging in that dumpster. I said, sir, I am so sorry. I had no idea. And this was at night, too. If it had been the day, it would have been different. But this was after dark. And I looked the whole situation over. I put the other trash in there and so forth. And I talked to some there at the place. And they said, oh, Carl said, yeah, we got a couple of people that come. And I think maybe they were a little surprised he was there at night, too. I never seen a bicycle. I never seen anything that indicated anybody was there. There is thousands of people digging out of dumpsters, getting food any way they can get it. All you and I have got to do is go open the cabinet and pull out beans and potatoes and corn and whatever, get meat out of the freezer. And they're scavenging for anything they can get. A piece of bread. A little piece of meat. Oh, are we as thankful for what we have this morning? Are we as thankful for the food as we ought to be? Lord, help us. I'm not meaning to scold us this morning. Let's go to Romans 1 and 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now Paul here, in both instances, is thanking God for the saints. The people that are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are we as thankful for one another as we ought to be? Are we as thankful for the truth we got this morning as we ought to be? Saints, we're a blessed body, and we need to appreciate one another. We need to appreciate our husbands, our wives, our children, but we need to appreciate one another. We need to thank God that we have the body of the saints and we know them. Thank it every once in a while. It would be good to go up to this person and a brother put his arm around, I thank you for being here. Tell the young people that. We're thankful you're here. Listen, folks, we don't count it a small thing, young people, to have you in our midst. You're valuable to us. Never forget that. Saints, you're valuable. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. And we appreciate every one of you this morning. Thanking the ministers occasionally, and I'm not asking this for myself, I'm doing it more for the pastor than anybody else. Thanking the ministers this morning for the truth that we have. Say, I thank you for that message. I appreciate what you said or whatever. I thank you for this or that. And do it on a fairly, let each other know you love one another. He said the love of your let's see, how's that go? The love exceeding, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Is our love abounding toward one another? Can you feel the love? Now this is one place that we've heard people say down through the years, they come to our assemblies and so forth, and they said, we can feel the love. Well, do you and I individually feel that as much as we ought to? Lord, help us to show each other love. One morning, I'm trying to quit mentioning Rebecca at all in my message. One man said, you all do it so much. But, and I've done it, I don't deny it. I don't know about what Brother Marty did after his wife died, but I know others have done it because I heard them. But one morning, I wanted to tell Rebecca I loved her. And I was crying, and as I called bawling over Becky, and I said, Lord, if I could just tell her that one more time. You know what the Lord told me? He said, you showed her your love. Let's show each other our love. Not just say it, but prove it and show it. That touches people and brings people in and does things. It's something to person that not just totally saying it. Over here in 1 John, isn't it? In 3, he said, let us not love in word or in tongue. Don't just say it. Don't just write it. But in deed and in truth. Show it to people. Let them know that we love you. Show them. Do something for them. Help them. But are we appreciating one another as much as we ought to? Are we thankful for each other as much as we ought to? What happens when somebody dies? We miss them. And there's times you wish you could say, I'm glad you're here. Are we appreciative of one another, thankful as much as we ought to? Lord, help us here to do that. To really show one another the love that we ought to show to each other. Colossians 2 and 6 through 9. We're about to get down to where my punchline is, as I call it. Colossians 2, 6 through 9. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead body. Now rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding. Are we abounding in thanksgiving this morning? Could people say, there goes a thankful person? There is a person that has been here in this chapel different times, down through the years. Last several years, they're not here today, but they have been. And if you call them and say, you know, I'll just tell who it is, it's Mary Lawson. How you doing? You know what her answer will be? What will she tell you? Now, come on. What would she tell you if you call her and say, Sister Mary, how you doing? She goes, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Or I'm extremely blessed. Or I'm just abnormally, how she said, I'm blessed. Lord, help us this morning to thank the Lord and say, I am blessed this morning. That's one way of saying I'm abounding in thanksgiving, so to speak. One minister, an old minister, he's gone now, been gone quite a few years, and he said, a thankful person will never backslide. Now you think about that, chew on that for a little bit. A thankful person will never backslide. Well, I thought about it. I can see your point, all right. A thankful person will never backslide. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 20 now and get down to what my real burden is. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And back to my original scripture, my text, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, then 1 Peter 5 and 10. I want to turn there, read that. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Lord wants to make something out of us. He doesn't want to just save us and just make a bench warmer. He wants to do something with us, and we have to go through a process of purifying and all these different things to get what He wants out of us totally. He wants us. It takes qualification. It takes experience. And it takes time. And a lot of times these things are hard to go through. But they're what makes you what you are. There's things that you've gone through that you wouldn't take millions of dollars for, because that's exactly what has made you where you can help people. And that's the only way you can help them, because that's the only way you can feel what you can feel. You do not know what it's like to lose a companion or a child if you've never lost one. You have no idea. You can watch them cry. You can, that one that's lost loved one, you can watch them cry. You can watch them bawl. You can watch them do things and you think they're abnormal and so forth. But the bottom line is, you flat don't understand that you go through it. So He is doing all of that to help us after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. And what that does is make the old gray heads that's sitting around, as they're sitting there, you can have real confidence in them, because you know what they've been through, and it's not been easy, and there's something that can be an encouragement and a help to you. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now this is my whole crust of the foundation of my message, or the whatever you want to call it. When we go through hard trials, that is settling us, strengthening us, establishing us, and so forth, those things are allowed by God. It's the will of God that we go through them. Nothing touches us except it goes through Christ first. He doesn't allow anything to happen to us that's just offshoot and out of the whack, so to speak. It's all for our good. He wants us to be able to have things whereby we can help other people, bless other people, encourage other people, strengthen other people. What I went through in 87 sent me to be able to feel the pain of a lot of the different sicknesses that I dealt with in my ministry from that point to now. The pain, the suffering, the anguish that I went through out there, Brother Sammons, Brother Williams, and in Pennsylvania and so forth, that was a real foundation to help me, and I wouldn't take billions of dollars for that. That is what we must go through, and we must be thankful for it at the same time. All right, now then, it's the will of God, see, in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Young people, you may go through a heartbreak someday. Girls, you might be going with a handsome fella and he up all of a sudden and decides to drop you and breaks your heart. You say, boy, that's pretty rough. And it is. It's hard. But that is the only way you can reach out to another person and say, I understand your pain. You don't know it if you don't go through it. And Lord help us, when those kind of things happen, a heartbreak on whatever angle it might be, Lord help us to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. You're settling, you're strengthening, you're establishing me. You're helping me. You're helping me to be able to help other people. This ain't all for ourselves. Listen, He don't just save us for us. He saves us for the church and the lost and the hypocrites and the backsliders and everybody around us. He saves us for everybody else so we can help people. And not just the minister. Well, it's just for the preacher. No, it's not. It's for you. You have your own world. You're your own missionary in your own circle of world, so to speak. And He's saving you to help those people and reach out to those people and be a blessing to those people. So consequently, He's got to bring you through the things to get you to the place where you can help them. So, can we be thankful for those things? Lord, help us. Lord, I thank You for this. There is tears. There is grief. There is pain. There is anguish. But then You can knock on the door. You can write them the cards. You can text them the texts. You can call them. And You can get out with them right in their tears and minister to them. And You can do what other people can't do. And you know what? That's what fills up the pews. That's what makes the difference, is the fact that if Your love and my love to that individual, reaching out to them and saying, I care and I love you, and you can call me anytime, 24 hours a day, and I will help you. It doesn't matter when it is. I'll come to you. Let me know and I will show up. Oh, tonight or today. Are we as thankful for these kind of things? Sicknesses? Sickness is something that happens to, I guess, every human being that will ever be born and die. And quite a few go out with sicknesses. But those things, you anguish, you pain, you hurt, you suffer. You're up at night maybe. You're paining all through the day. You're maybe, well, just whatever. It can be from the head all the way down. You can suffer all in through your body. And you're wondering, why do I have to go through this? To settle you, to strengthen you, to establish you. And we need to be thankful for that, because that's going to be a blessing to you and to somebody else. Brother Clifford told me in Green Bank when I was sick. He was there. He had just gotten married the second time. And Sister Nedra had set to come help the school for that year. So she said, I need you to come along, so to speak. Maybe made this before they got married. I suppose, I don't really know that for a fact. But anyway, they come out there. And so he helped to minister to me along with Brother Sammons and Brother Tony and different ones. And so he told me, he said, down in the future, he said, there's going to be times that you're going to take this sickness that you've gone through, all these different angles and pains and sufferings, and it's going to be like a film strip, and you're going to be trying to help somebody, and you're going to pull up a deal right there before you, and you're going to look at it and remember it and understand what they're going through. And that's exactly what I've done. Over and over and over. That's what you will do. It'll be like a film strip, so to speak, and you can pull it up to this particular place and look at it and say, yes, I was down on my knees suffering intently, or I was laying in my bed suffering intently, or I was laying on the couch, or I was whatever, suffering intently. I remember that, and you can get under a burden and pray for that person like you never could otherwise, because you remember the pain. You remember the anguish. You know. You understand. You can feel what you can't feel. Isn't that worth thanking God for? It is, isn't it? It is extremely valuable. And people don't want to go through sickness. They don't want to go through pain. I don't particularly. What about a home burn? Uh-oh. You lose something that you built by your own hand. Or you've worked years to pay for it. And you drive in the driveway and it's burning to the ground. There would be pain there. The things that's in that house, the pictures, the movies that you've taken of Sissy and Junior and all of this, it's going up in flames. It's gone. That'd be painful. Be very painful. But Lord, help us to get down and thank the Lord. To thank the Lord. For some reason, it's His will that that happened to you. And it don't happen to the saints very often. Car wrecks, there's a lot of things we don't suffer as a body maybe as much as other people do. But we do get touched once in a while. There have been saints that went through car wrecks. There have been saints that have lost their homes. Down through the years, it's happened occasionally, maybe by a storm, maybe not totally by a home burning, but maybe a tornado would come through. It happened to somebody in Shawnee over a year ago, and they had left, And sure enough, it come through. It didn't flatten the house, but it did damage it. And they had to deal with that for months trying to get all the repairs done. And it was devastating to them. It was hard to them what they went through. And they're an older couple. They're not young. If they're young, it'd made it a little easier. But the Colts are, I don't know, they're up in their 80s, I guess. And they had to go through this. Oh, today, Lord, help us to be able to thank the Lord. A car accident. Now, again, these is hard spots that we're going to, you may never face all of them. I'm never saying you will. But there is a chance you could face some of them. You could go through them. And the fact is, Lord, help us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's His will that we go through this to help our own companions, our children, our loved ones, the congregation, our souls around us in our missionary work, so to speak. All right, let's go another angle. What about somebody being blessed by a new car and you got an old junker? Lord, help us. I knew a case, where a minister had a nice travel trailer, and there was two ministers that worked together quite a bit. And so the one that had one travel trailer, somebody gave him another trailer. He had two trailers. And this other minister had no trailers. And so the one that had no trailers, he told his wife, said, "We're going to go over to brother and sister so-and-so's, and we're going to rejoice with them over their trailers," their new trailer in particular. And so the one that had no trailer went over to the house of the brother that had two trailers, and they rejoiced and thanked the Lord and so forth. And the one that had two gave the one that had none one, and they both had one. Praise God. So consequently, it was a blessing, see. But the bottom idea was he was willing, in spite of the fact that he didn't get out in Mully Grove Alley and say, "Oh, I don't have no trailer. He's got two trailers. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't do this. I can't do that." No. He raised himself up, so to speak, and he said, "Wife, we're going to go over there and rejoice with him. We're going to be thankful for them that they have two now." Lord, help us. Get a new car. Get a new home. Get a new motor home. Whatever, travel trailer, whatever be the deal. And sometimes the devil come along and said, "See there? You got just that worst car in the whole congregation. And they got a brand new SUV or a van or whatever it might be. And he'll want to make you not be as thankful for somebody else as we ought to be. Take them in your arms and say, "I love you. I appreciate you. You're wonderful." And the Lord can bless that and work with that. So help us, Lord, to be thankful this morning, as thankful as we ought to be. Let's go to Philippians 4 and 6. Philippians 4 and 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I want to read you a translation on this. "Be careful for nothing. In nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything. Entertain no worry." Have you ever worried about anything? Have you ever been anxious about anything? Most of us probably have. "But be careful for nothing," the writer said. "Don't entertain no worry. The storm's coming, and it's a bad one, and you're worried a little bit. But it said, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Now you can leave, let's read it this way. "But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." You can leave with thanksgiving totally out of that scripture, but it changes somewhat. There's a value in there of putting those two words in there, with thanksgiving. In other words, you're coming to God, you're praying, you're seeking the Lord and so forth, no matter what the situation, and you're pouring your life out, or pouring your heart out to Him and so forth, and you say, "Lord, I thank you I thank you for whatever might be the situation, but by prayer and earnest pleading, together with thanksgiving, let your request be unreservedly made known before God. By prayer and earnest pleading. And that goes along with little message we had last night. Let your request be unreservedly made known before God. Be careful. We can be an anxious people, can't we? We can entertain worry. There was a person among us that was, if you listen to her, she appeared to be one of the most positive women you could ever listen to. She could take a testimony and liven things up. And I'm not talking about liven like maybe I do in emotion particularly, but she had a way of describing things that would get your attention real quick. And so she could liven things up. One day, her husband and I was together, and he said, my wife can be a real worrywart. And I looked at him, I thought, her? Ain't no way. And I think I questioned him. I said, you're saying that your wife worries about that? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I can do so and so, and she'll just worry and worry and worry about it. I was dumbfounded. She seemed so positive. Seemed like she didn't have a worry bone in her body, so to speak. But she was a person that could worry. Lord, help us to be positive. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Isn't that rich? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. One old brother. Well, I guess I can name his name because he's been named out before. Old Brother O.B. Wilson. I believe it was a Wilson anyway. I believe it was Brother O.B. They said that when he was getting down to death's door, some of the children come in and so forth, and they were talking to him, and they asked him, Dad, how you doing, and so forth, and he was just laying out how he's thankful and so forth and everything, and I guess it kind of caught him by surprise, and their response thinking was that, Dad, you've been a minister for so many years and all of this and so forth, and you're just thankful for the blood. The blood that saved my soul. That's what he was pointing to. He said, the blood, I'm thankful to Jesus for the blood that has saved my soul and the power that has kept me all these years. He wasn't tooting his own horn in any way. Folks, when we get down to the end, I dare say that we'll probably be the very same way. We're thankful for what He's done. We're just a servant. We're nobody. But the bottom line is, Jesus has had mercy, and He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us. Help us to thank the Lord for the victories that we have. No matter how much pain we go through getting there. Brother Austin Wilson one day was going through a trial, and he was praying as he walked down a street. And he said there was a lot of people around, this way I understand it. And in my mind, I'm thinking that it's like Christmas time, because he said the stores were full and the sidewalks were full and he was going down. But his mind was so heavy of the battle and the trial that he was in, He wasn't concentrating on the people. He was just walking, so to speak. And he was in his own world with the Lord. And he said he turned and he walked into a store. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, child, The one that's given you all these victories down through the years is going to give you this one too. The same one, the same Christ, the same Savior, the same one that has reached out and touched us and helped us as a body all down through the years. When we get to the very end, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for the victory that you've given us over and over and over. Because, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. I appreciate your time, your attention, your presence here this morning. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my